Okay, if you have your Bibles with you, open your Bibles this morning with me to James chapter 5. James chapter 5. I was reminded when I was studying this, and the Lord laid this on my heart. He took me to the prophet Isaiah, in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. And he says, "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, and they shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not grow weary, and they shall walk and not faint." And the Lord was saying that the Spirit of God wants to renew us so that we can rise to the occasion, so that we can run the race that is set before us, and He'll rejuvenate us by the Spirit of God. Yes. Amen. Amen. I believe in all of my heart by what I'm seeing in our nation, in our world, and what's taking place, that Jesus is at the door of His return. Amen. He is about to come back for His bride. Amen. He's coming back for His wife, His bride, His church. Amen. He's coming back for you and I. Amen. So no matter what it may look like, no matter what it may seem like, no matter what it may feel like, God is on the move. And God is doing some great things. God told me today, He said, don't look at the number of people that are in this place, because there's more taking place in this ministry than what you're recognizing and you're seeing in your eyes. Amen. And then the next few weeks, you're going to start seeing an influx of people. Okay. And God wants our hearts to be ready and prepared to minister to each and every one, to love them right where they're at, but to love them so much that they don't stay there. Amen. I don't know about you, but I thank God that He takes us from glory to glory, even as by His Spirit. So in our text today, in James chapter 5, verse number 7, the Word of God says, "Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waited for the precious fruit of the earth, and have long patience for it, until he received the early and the latter rain. Be ye also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. Take my brethren, the prophets, who have spoken in the name of the Lord, for an example of suffering affliction and of the patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is pitiful, very pitiful, and of tender mercy. But of all things, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven, neither by earth, neither by any other oath, but let your yea be yea, and your nay, nay, unless you fall into condemnation." Amen. But today, the Lord wants to take us in verse number 7 today, where he says, "Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord." He said, "Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and he has long patience for it, until he receives the early and the latter rain." I titled this morning, "He's Coming Soon." Amen. He's coming soon. And we want to look at the patience, the progressing, and the pouring. Amen? Let's ask God's blessing upon the preacher. Let's lift the word and come and make a declaration today. Can we say, lift our word together and make a declaration? Can you repeat after me? Say, "I believe this is the written word of God. God wrote this word to me. I am what God's word says I am. I can have everything God's word says I can have. I can be who God says I can be. Today, I will hear God's word, and my life will be changed. It will never be the same. Lord, speak to me, your servant. I am listening. My ears are open, and my heart is attentive. Thank you, Jesus, for choosing me. In Jesus' name, amen." Father, we're so grateful, Father God, for your word. We're grateful that you sent it here to accomplish something to every hearer in the room. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by your word. as this word goes forth, Father God. May it benefit every hearer, Father God. Father God, may they be blessed by the preaching and teaching of your word. And when all is said and done, all glory, honor, and praise will be unto the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I pray again, Lord, speak to me today. May the words that come out of my mouth be from you and not from me. And when all is said and done, all honor and praise will be unto the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You know, the first thing he says in our text today, he said, be patient, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Amen. In other words, no matter what it seems like, no matter what it feels like, God is saying, be patient, wait. They that wait upon the Lord, he will renew your strength. Amen. And as you're waiting upon him, you're being strengthened in his power and might. Amen. But he's talking about patience. And I love what Solomon says in Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Ecclesiastes 7, verse number 8. The word of God says, better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. And the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. You know, Solomon said in Proverbs 16, he said, pride cometh before destruction and a haughty spirit before the fall. Now, sometimes when I'm wanting to see something from the Lord, sometimes when I don't see it in the time I want to see it, the adversary tries to steal that seed from within me. But God said what he said he will do. He said not his word will never return unto him void. It'll accomplish what he sent it to do. So as we're patiently waiting, here I am waiting. Abide in me, I pray. Here I am longing for you. And in other words, it's just not a amount of sitting here like I'm waiting to see the doctor in the waiting room, and I'm getting all irritable. Hello? Amen? I've got this appointment, and my time doesn't seem to be important to the doctor. He's never on time. He's always late. All right? But I'm sitting here, and I'm getting all fidgety, and that's sometimes the way we get with the Lord. But God is saved when we patiently wait upon him, he will renew our strength. Yes. Amen. And then we'll rise up and overcome what the adversary is trying to trip us up with. You know, when I was looking at that, the Apostle Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 4. In 2 Timothy 4, he's writing to his student Timothy. And he just reminds Timothy. The Apostle Paul said it like this. He said, follow me as I follow Christ. Amen. So what the Apostle Paul was saying to his student Timothy, he said in verse number 7, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Look at your neighbor and say, Jesus is coming soon. We're patiently waiting for him. We're patiently waiting for him. We're patiently waiting for him. Amen. And he says in 1 John chapter 2, and this steals a lot from the body of Christ, because we're dealing with our flesh. And the Word of God says in 1 John 2:16, he says, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. You know, we might just say this prayer sometime. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. But we got to say, thy will be done in me. Amen. Not my will, but thy will be done. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to us. So he's telling us first, he says, just like the writer James is saying, be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. In other words, we're waiting for a mighty thing to take place. Amen. That's the thing that we serve the Lord all of our lives for. Hello? Whether it's by death or by life, I'm going to be with him. Amen. Amen. I'm not going to let this world and all of its deception and all of its lies steal what God wants to do. Amen. And you see it is taking place all in our nation and our world. So many people are being swayed by deception. But he said, be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Then he said this, behold, the husbandman waited for the precious fruit of the earth, and he hath long patience for it. Now, wait a minute. A husbandman is a farmer. Now, how many farmers do you know that plant a crop and then go sit down in their house and wait to the harvest? Jesus said, any man putting his hand to the plow and looking back is not fit for the kingdom of God. In other words, there's the progressing. We're moving forward. We're not just sitting waiting. When we're sitting here waiting, we're waiting for you to tell me what to do, Lord, and then I'm going to act on what you tell me to do, because you're not finished doing the work on this earth, and you call me as a vessel for your glory. Amen. Hallelujah. And in other words, just like that farmer, we have to be ready to move when God says move. We got to be ready to do when God says do. You know, we got to be open and receptive to what he wants to do in and through us to reach this world. Amen. And when I was looking at that, the Lord reminded me Galatians chapter 6. We're talking about sowing. Behold, the husband waited for the precious fruit of the earth, and he has long patience for it. Verse number 7 of Galatians 6. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially them who are of the household of faith. In other words, we're to be ministering to one another, and as we're ministering to one another, we minister to everyone that comes through the doors, and as we minister to everyone that comes through the doors, when we leave here, we minister to everyone we come in contact with. We let our light so shine before men that they may see our good works and give the Father in heaven all the glory. In other words, we're letting our light shine. We're letting the Lord, glory of the Lord shine and rise in and through us to be ministered to others all around us. You know, I was had an opportunity. I was sharing with Stephanie the other day. It was like about sowing and reaping. And I was reminded when my wife and I bought a house in Elkton, my father-in-law, Papaw, he came and tilled us a whole side of the yard. He tilled us so much garden space. He wanted us to put it in the garden, but he tilled the whole yard, all right? The whole yard. And he plowed it up and had it all ready. And I was putting in the rows. And if you looked at my garden, I had the ugliest garden anywhere. I had these big curves. Every row was in curves. Amen? And the Lord was reminding me about something. He says, any man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is not fit for the kingdom of God. In other words, I wasn't keeping my eyes on a target walking towards it. I was looking all around when I was making my rows. Amen. And how many know? And then I tried to justify it. Oh, everybody puts in straight rows, but you get more crop in a curve. It didn't work because not only that, not only could you not work the garden, because when you tried to till it to get the weeds out, you would tear up the plants to try to get the thing away because it doesn't till on a curve. Amen? Amen? And that's the way we are sometimes in Christ Jesus. We get our eyes off the prize. We get our eyes off the target and we wander off and we get off track. And so much we're going to say, well, Lord, you're going to do something with me here. And what the Lord says, no. Return to where you departed and get back on track. You know, I thought about that. I said, well, Lord, I didn't know much about gardening. He says, a nice simple way to do it, if you want 36-inch rows or separation of 36-inch or 2 foot or however distance you want, you would take a tape measure and measure it and put a pole out there and you can walk right to it. You had something to focus on. Amen. If I was doing a garden now, I'm not going to, but if I was doing a garden now, my garden's up in Food Line. Amen. I don't have to till and I don't have to pull the weeds. Amen. But we get the fresh fruit. But one of the things the Lord was speaking about that, when I was thinking about that husbandman, and it's so important for you and I to get a hold of this. Open your Bibles with me to Hosea chapter 10. I use this scripture. It's probably one of my favorite scriptures. I guess I say that every week about some scripture. Because every one of them applied to my life and changed, did something in my life. Every time I get into the Word, it does something in me. But he says in verse 12, sow to yourselves in righteousness. Our righteousness is in Christ Jesus. Our righteousness is filthy rags. So look. Sow to yourself in Christ Jesus in righteousness. Then you reap in mercy. As you're reaping in mercy, break up the fallow ground. The fallow ground that's around our heart. In other words, allow the Lord to do a word. For it's time to seek the Lord till he comes and rain righteousness upon you. More of Jesus. You know, I put something about, in my post this morning, I put something about a river of life to enter in. And some people say, well, it only washes you is the blood of Jesus. No, Jesus is the river of life. Amen. He is the one that makes me clean. Amen. He is the one that guides me. He's my very present help in time of need. Amen. So he's telling us, and we're looking at this husbandman again. Behold the husbandman. Waited for the precious fruit of the earth, and he has long patience for it. And in other words, here's another thing. God's called you in ministry, and just because the person isn't changing that to what you want to see change, you keep on loving, and you keep on speaking the word, because it's God that changes them, not you and I. Amen. Sometimes he says, don't grow weary in well-doing. Sometimes when we're planting seed and we're trying to raise someone up and they're not acting like we think they should act, all of a sudden we get tired of it. We want to kick it in, forget it, and find someone else. God says that he that's begun a good work in them is faithful to see it through to completion. Amen. In other words, it's in God's time, it's not your time. And God knows the perfect time. And when God's working on somebody, you got to allow him to do the work. I have learned I can't change anyone. I had a hard enough time changing myself. Anybody else in the room? Anybody else in the room? And if you're having a hard time changing yourself, what makes you think you could change someone else? Hello? Hello? God wants to remind us that God's going to bring all kinds of people into this place in these last days. Amen. And we're going to love them right where they're at. We're going to teach them God's word. And we're going to raise them up to be the men and women that God's called them to be. Amen. The Lord said this to me the other day, and I shared it on Wednesday night. When somebody comes and gives their heart to Jesus, they become the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Your righteousness that you served them all your life is no greater than their righteousness. That's
sorry.
When God looks down at them, he sees his son, Jesus Christ, and he's covered with them with his love and his blood, and they're covered. Amen. And what the enemy wants you to think, that you're not just as good as someone else, and you're not just as righteous as someone else. And sometimes some people that are religious people want to look down their nose at people thinking they're more righteous than them. Hello? I don't know about you, but God says, my righteousness is filthy rags. Amen. We have the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Amen. So as we're looking at this, Jesus said, and we're in the sowing place of the progressing. In Matthew chapter 9, behold the husbandman, waiting for the precious fruit of the earth. He have long patience for it. The Lord wants to remind you and I in Matthew chapter 9, verse number 37, that he saith to his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send laborers into his harvest. Amen. And to whose harvest? It's his harvest. It's his harvest. This world is his garden. Amen. We're just workers in his garden. And sometimes we might be the ones that sow the seed. Sometimes we might be the one that waters. Sometimes we might be the one that pull the weeds. Hello? Amen. When I grew my garden, I have to give myself a little bit of credit, where credit is due. When I had my garden, I grew some of the greatest weeds in the county. I had some great weeds. Look at all the people. They just got stuff. They got crop. Look at those weeds. Look how tall those things are. Look at that thistle. It looks like a missile. Uh-huh. But what did he say to us today? He's coming soon. He says, be patient, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. He said, behold the husbandman waited for the precious fruit of the earth, and he have long patience for it. To what? Until he receives the early and the latter rain. Yeah, you know, when you look at an early rain, if you're a gardener, the early rain will germinate the seed. The latter rain will bring the harvest and the blossom. Amen. And no matter what that fruit or vegetable looks like in the growing process, amen, when the latter rain comes and it starts harvesting, I've had corn stalks that were, I've seen corn stalks that were 10, 12 foot tall, and they had great fruit of corn on them. And I've seen corn stalks that were this tall, and they still had fruit and corn on them. Amen. Amen. And the corn was good. Amen. And some are going to grow faster than others. Some are going to be stubborn plants. Amen. Amen. But he says, in the midst of this, we're waiting for the latter rain. The early rain has already come. It's the rain that germinates the seed, that brings them salvation. And now we're looking at the latter rain that fills them with the Spirit of God and gets them excited about the things of God. Hallelujah. You know what? If we don't get excited about them, how are we expecting anybody else to? Amen. So with this in mind, I'm talking about the pouring. Look with me in Acts 14. Acts 14. Verse number 17. The Word of God says, nevertheless, he left not himself without witness, and that he did good. And he gave rain from heaven in fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness. Amen. The food is the Word of God, and I like that song, he has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will say to the Lord, he has made me glad. Amen. Has he made you glad?
Yes.
Amen. Amen. I don't know. Every time I get into the Word, I get a happy meal. This is the true happy meal that doesn't kill you. McDonald's happy meals may kill you, but this ain't going to kill you. This is going to bring you life. So we're getting into a happy meal. Is it okay to get happy? Is it okay for us to be happy? Yeah. Okay to be happy? You know what really makes the world look at the body of Christ? When the world is going through hell and the church is still smiling.
Amen.
And the church is still happy. Amen? Because what? He is made me glad. He is made me glad. I will say of the Lord, I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. Amen? So he says to us in Acts chapter 2. Are y'all with me still? Verse number 17. He said, it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens will I pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. I'd want to speak to the young people and the ones that are listening. We don't have a lot of young people in here today. I guess we're all young, praise God. Everybody's seeing visions. Nobody's dreaming dreams in the house. Hallelujah. But prophesy. To prophesy is to edify, to exhort, and to comfort the hearers. God wants to raise up the young people to start speaking forth. And when your children start speaking forth, shut up and listen to them. God said he will use them in the last days. And just because it seems strange to you, watch out what it may touch someone else's life with. Hello? I don't know. Sometimes a word comes and people look at it and say, well, that was strange. And somebody starts weeping and crying because it spoke right to their heart, because God said that to them. And they couldn't understand it. And then a little child affirmed what God already told them. Amen. Amen. I'm excited that you're going to use our young people. Because you know what? In the natural, if you look at what's taking place, you see the young people, it seems like they're falling away from God. But he said he's going to pour his spirit out on all flesh. There's a lot of rain that's coming. And our sons and daughters will begin to prophesy. Amen. They'll start speaking forth the counsels of God. Amen. So he tells you and I in Isaiah chapter 44. Verse number 3. He talks about the blessing in the nation. Let me say something to everyone here today. The United States of America is not a nation that's blessed, because it's a nation that turned from God. And he says, return unto me, says the Lord. Return unto me with your whole heart. Seek me with all that you have, and will I not restore and bring back everything that I said to you I will do? I have called you and anointed you and appointed you for a time such as now. I've separated you to myself. No matter what the world is doing, says the Lord, you follow me at my word, and you'll see me manifest myself everywhere that you go. Everywhere that you go, I will be manifested in through you. Just trust me. I'm calling my children back. I'm calling them from the north, the south, the east, and the west. I'm calling them back because I haven't finished with them. Even though it seems like there's no hope, speak forth life, my children, and watch it come. When I said, let there be light, there was light, and darkness had to flee. And when you say, come forth life, life will begin to come. So begin to prophesy, begin to call things forth, and believe me at my word that I will do everything that I told you that I would do. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 You know who that was from? That was from the Lord himself. That's how much he loves you and I. That's how much he loves you and I. And that's how much he loves this world, no matter what it's looking like. That's how much he loves this nation. This is a nation that was called to serve God. This is a nation that's departed from him, but he's calling them back just as the prodigal. He's calling them back, and they're going to return. There's a mighty army that's returning to the kingdom of God. They've gotten off track, but God's moving in their hearts and their lives. And he says to you and I, this was a word of encouragement. And prophet Isaiah said, in Isaiah 44, verse number 3, "And I will pour water upon him that is thirsty, and floods upon the dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon thy seed and my blessing upon thy offspring." Hallelujah. 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 Those children, those grandchildren that have drifted away, God promises them you to the second and third generation. Don't speak into what you see. Speak into what God says. When you're prophesying and you're praying, start giving them thanks for the ones that have gone wayward. Hallelujah. So in closing today, what is he saying? He's saying, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waited for the precious fruit of the earth, and he had long patience for it until he sees the early and the latter rain. He gives us his promises in closing in Isaiah 25. He says, "And it shall come to pass," wait a minute, "and it shall be said in the last day, lo, this is our God. We have waited for him, and he will save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. We will be glad and rejoice in his salvation." Can we stand? Can we lift our hands to heaven? Father, I'm thankful, Father God, for every man, woman, and child that you've called. I'm grateful, Father God, for the Spirit of God that's within each and every one. Father, I pray even now that God arise and the enemy be scattered in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you, Father God, for the gifts and the anointing that is upon each and every one. The gift of God is irrevocable. It does not change. Father, may we step and do the things that you called us to do without any doubt, Father God. May your faith arise in our hearts and our lives so that we can take back some territory for your kingdom, Father God. The kingdom of God suffered violence, and the violent take it by force, Father God. And as the violent are taking it by force, and we're taking it by force, we're not being forceful against the people, Father God. We're being forceful against the works of darkness, against spiritual wickedness in high places, Father God. We recognize, Father, that the battle does not belong to us. It belongs to you, and it's not by might nor by power, but it's by your Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. So, Father, I thank you for God to arise in each and every one of us in such a supernatural way that we'll run and not grow weary, we'll walk and not faint, because we're being patient for your coming, Father God. We're progressing your kingdom, Father God. We're one witnessing the pouring of your Spirit, and all your promises are yes and amen. And we give you glory, we give you honor, and we give you praise. Can we give God a hand clap of praise? Can we give him a hand clap of glory? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Be with every man, woman, and child as they go today. May your face shine upon them. May your glory rise in and through them. In Jesus' name, amen, amen.